contact Dr. Jenny's office and then she'll help you.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. No other questions? So let's move on to the next presentation.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Sogan. I would like to introduce Dr. Jill Carter, who is the special tax consultant for the district, and she will speak to the funding obligation of UCMC.
Before I start out, I just want to say that I was so focused on the question of do we have to, and not on the question of is it allowable. So I apologize if I move off in a different direction.
I wasn't making myself clear.
And in my PowerPoint, we do talk a little bit about student generation rate, which tie into that very thing that we're talking about, that study. So, good evening. It's great to be here again tonight. Thank you, Roxana and Karen, for a great summary. And I'm going to go ahead and go to the first slide, which is the agenda. And tonight, my goal really is to clearly communicate the methodology by which that we are going to define the obligation of a CFD. I am not going to give you a stack of papers for 18 different CFDs. I need to speak solely to the methodology to make sure everybody understands it. I've been invited to come back on Monday. Hopefully on Monday, I can bring everything that we, any changes or any clarity you need as we walk through this. And then I will be back on August 8th. On August 8th, we'll be trying to set the tax rate for the coming year. So when I come back on Monday, we'll be talking about some of the very things that Karen was addressing, about the fund balance, about the fact that September 1st, we're going to owe debt service. We have outstanding administration, coming administration. We'll talk about the flow of those funds. So that will be coming back to you. But on to the methodology. I'm going to move from the agenda on to the first slide, actually slide 3, I apologize. And I wanted to take a minute. This really addresses the matrix. It asks you, what is the obligation? As Karen mentioned, each CFD has a separate mitigation agreement. It has a separate special tax report. There were separate resolutions taken for each of the CFDs. And every one of them words things slightly different. And there's like a series of CFDs that were formed that are very similar. We have a break in development, the world kind of lulls. We have a series of CFDs that were formed again. So you can see the similarities in the kind of grouping of the CFD formations. Basically, all of them allow you to fund new construction. And I want to just stop for a second. I know Karen mentioned it briefly, that new construction for your district is always defined by whether the home or the CFD is within the area that is served 712 or the area of the district that served 912. It's a little bit of a difference in the matrix, and it's different than most of the CFDs in the state. The next obligation is that the majority of the CFDs also authorize the funding of modernization. Again, Karen mentioned that the six CFDs mentioned there are being evaluated again and most likely brought forward to you on the clarification of silence regarding modernization. And finally, most of the CFDs discuss the funding of furniture and equipment, interim housing, and district administrative support facilities. Furniture and equipment is handled when the school is constructed as part of the budget. So yes, you've funded furniture and equipment. Interim housing, you can see on your spreadsheet that were so nicely done. If you were very young, I could see what Roxana does. I'm just kidding. I visit her in her office and she prints that on 8.5 by 11 and hands it to me. It's quite interesting. But yes, interim housing was funded. And I just confirmed before the meeting started, you have never spent a dime of CFD money on district administrative support facilities, registered offices, or anything. I'm going to make sure they didn't have anything to add to that one. So I'm going to move on to the next slide, and it's facilities funding needs. And what we found is when we started to look at the component of new construction obligation, we were we're having trouble, and let's start out with what we did. We looked at the most recently adopted fee justification report, which provides a current cost estimate for both the middle and the high school, and it provides a design capacity by for a school, which allows you to calculate the cost per student. You can see that in today's world, each middle school student costs you over $72,000, and every high school student costs you over $89,000.